is 5:08 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So are you, like me, one of the many Klang Valleyites who have been facing water cuts today? And have you been using memes to cope? This is the question, or the pair of questions, that we're starting our show with.
Well, to first confess, I have fortunately been spared the water cut, fingers crossed, hopefully. But Ais Langor announced that the water supply will be disrupted from today till the 16th of October for upgrading and maintenance works. And this is affecting 8 regions, including KL, Petaling and Shalam. And as a result, hashtag Selangor is a trending topic on Twitter today. Local Twitter users are creating posts and memes that refer to the scheduled water cut. I think also partly because this is by now a regular occurrence enough that you kind of have a bank of memes already to pull out and start sharing.
Yes, and also because this happens, I mean, if we look at the way the internet works to a degree, right? And how it is that conversations happen, especially conversations around water cooler topics, like ironically the water cuts are, you know, the memes play a huge role in that. Like you said, we have a bank ready to go, but I also think it's a coping mechanism. And it's, I wouldn't say it's necessarily uniquely Malaysian sense of humor that's making its presence felt here. Memes in general are a worldwide thing. But there is something about a local meme, a deeply local and specific meme that is particularly pleasing and particularly helpful when you're going through something as frustrating as a water cut. Because the only other people, it feels like, who will truly understand what's happening to you are the other people going through it or who have gone through it.
I think the deeply local part is really what makes these memes both enjoyable and also kind of like sharing your suffering, right? My favorite is the Putri Gunung Ledang one. And it essentially has Putri and Hang Tua, and then the Putri goes, Tuan Hamba tak mandi ke? And then Hang Tua's like, tak, Hamba tinggal kat Selangor. And I mean, there are just so many variations of these memes. And I think that aspect of it being a group of people who have a shared experience and can make jokes about it while also kind of low-key suffering through it, it's one of those important things that makes a meme work.
Actually, as you were speaking, Ro sent in that exact meme, which I hadn't seen prior to you sharing it with me earlier, Sharmila, and now it will live forever in my mind because it's so perfect. It is ideal, and it has that confluence of exactly what we were talking about: local context, local pop culture, and a specific local situation to apply the meme to. The fact that there's a river just makes it extra delightful. But I think that the reason why we wanted to talk about it is partly because, you know what, we love it when you share memes with us and we then have the challenge of trying to talk about memes on radio, as we just have with Hang Tua and Putri Gunung Ledang. Makes no sense if you haven't seen the movie. But the other thing is also because I think it gets at the heart of one aspect of the way news is talked about that perhaps we don't talk about enough on our show or in the media, which is the way it is memeified. Because yes, of course, when you have a headline, with that comes a specific set of, in the modern sense, expectations, right? First, there's the headline itself. Then there's the breathless dissections on Twitter, on social media. Then there are the remixes that exist on TikTok. And then you have the memes. And somewhere in the middle, you have the think pieces. But if you look at the way it lives online, this is really the way in which news unfolds now.
I am just thinking about all of the Buka Parliament memes, yeah. With the empty halls and comparing it to deserts and comparing it to cannot rentas negeri and all of these things, right? I think you're right that it's one thing to read an article and get an analysis. But if I wanted someone to quickly understand my frustration about something, nothing works as well as a single image that everyone's immediately going to get and laugh a little bit at.
So, considering the water cuts today and the memes that have resulted from it, we'd like to know, do you find memes helpful as a coping mechanism, and what are some of your favorites? Send them our way and we will try to describe them on air, which is about as interesting as listening to someone talk about their dream. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. After this, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Ross Tapsell, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Gender, Media media and culture at the Australian National University. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about memes and water cuts. So at first glance, it perhaps looks unrelated, but because Selangor and the Klang Valley in general is once more going through the whole water cut rigmarole that we go through every other year, sometimes on a bad year, every 3 months, every quarter or so. Anyway, with that has come a whole bunch of memes because everybody is just trying to make sense of it and make, I guess, find a bit of comfort in them. And so we want to know, are you finding memes helpful as a coping mechanism? And what are some of your favourites? Send them our way, share your thoughts. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now on the line with us is Dr. Ross Tapsell, a senior lecturer at the Department of Gender, Media and Culture at the Australian National University. Ross, thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
So could you help us contextualize the role that memes play in how we talk and how we engage online?
Yeah, I know it seems like a shallow topic, doesn't it, talk about memes, but scholars increasingly think that there's a lot of depth to this and that memes are really crucial for two ways. I guess the first way in that it's the entry to the internet or the entry to an issue or an event for a lot of people. When they first learn about something, it'll come from a meme or an image. And the second thing they talk about is this marketplace of ideas, that it has this huge influence on the way we think about certain topics. You might have heard the term, I can't get that image out of my head, or that image is etched in my mind. So it has a really important way in the way we think about remembering something or influencing how we think about something. A striking image can be really influential. So yeah, a cool topic actually has a lot of depth.
How has this changed specifically in the pandemic?
I'm not sure it's changed too much. I think just with the rise of Instagram and TikTok, everybody's talking about the rise of visual cultures on the internet. So, of course, Twitter still plays a role in sort of elites and journalists like yourselves, of course, these BFM elite journos. But actually a lot of people are really engaging with images more than ever before. And so there is this idea that we're sort of moving away from text now and much more into the importance of visual cultures. And the pandemic has only exacerbated that because we're spending more and more time online because we're at home in lockdown and so on.
So why do you think we love memes so much? Particularly, it feels like, to me at least, when we're in a crisis, you know, how does it help us cope?
Oh, look, in a crisis, you know, you love black humour, dark humour. I think some of the examples that you gave earlier in Selangor is a good, you know, it's very Malaysian too in a way, is sort of that dark humour around, you know, making fun of a bad situation and in a way sort of making the best of a bad situation by making fun of it. But also I think really importantly, it allows us to make fun of authority. And that's where memes, political memes in particular, are really important for a democracy, but also important for freedom of expression. And of course, sometimes they can cross the line and they can go too far, but a lot of the times it is really important that you can make fun of elites and of, you know, political elites and authority there. And memes allow us to do that in a fun way. So people enjoy that without writing something in text, which feels more direct.
So I'm curious about that aspect of power that you just mentioned, right? Because in some ways, it seems like memes almost level the playing ground and make commentary something that everyone can access.
Yeah, great point. And this is really one of the debates that scholars are having. Are memes inclusive in that it means that you don't need to be great at writing, like which you might need to be on Twitter or Facebook if you're writing long text? So does that mean it's more inclusive for, you know, for people who are not fully literate, and that's a good thing? Or are they exclusive because it is really the bunks are bubble people making fun of, you know, sort of Selangor elites or whatever it might be that the topic of the day is? You need to be urban, you need to be middle class, you need to be a university educated to get the jokes. And I don't think there's consensus there about whether they are inclusive or exclusive. I think it probably depends on the context. But it's interesting to think of how discourse on memes is driven by a certain class of people.
So I wanted to expand on that just a little bit more because aside from the idea of the urban bubble and so on, I think there's also this idea of internet exclusivity or people being in the know. And I'm thinking here specifically of the phrase, if you know, you know, and the way that it's sometimes applied when it comes to memes, you know. How do we make sense of that, I suppose?
So there was a, I'm very much into political memes. So let me just focus a little bit on that because I think the GE14 was a really interesting example to look at the way in which a lot of semi-urban or semi-rural people were using the internet, often for the first time, and sharing memes on WhatsApp. You know, it was said during GE14 that it was the WhatsApp election. And so in a way, this did change the nature of political discourse. Of course, there was a lot of stuff going around about 1MDB at the time, and people were accessing that kind of material on Facebook and WhatsApp that they couldn't access on mainstream, on a lot of mainstream media. And so I do think that, you know, the famous anthropologist wrote about weapons of the week. You could think about a meme as a weapon of the week, as a way to disseminate gossip and, you know, jokes and laughter and that kind of thing. And, yeah, it's interesting to think about how Malaysia and politics link to the meme.
What makes for a good meme? Do you have some favourites?
Yeah, I mean, anything that makes fun of authority, I think it is good. But I'm sorry to take a fun topic more seriously, but I work on disinformation. So I think it's fascinating to think about how there's now an industry of people who are creating memes for a political purpose and they're getting paid to do it. And we should always think about, you know, now that when we think about favourite memes and some of the ones that go viral, they might be created by professional organisations. And it's interesting, a lot of young people are getting jobs in this space now and being very good at it. And in fact, Southeast Asians, I think, are the best at it because they're very entrepreneurial in the way that they use social media and the internet.
And I guess a part of that idea of meme generation or content generation is vocabulary, right? Like you have to be fluent in crafting something so that it makes sense to people who look at memes all the time. Do memes have a certain language or pattern or rhythm to them?
Yeah, so Malaysia's a great case for this as well because of the different languages. And, of course, you know, when we think about this concept globally that the scholars are writing about, which is filter bubbles or echo chambers, which is a really popular term. We haven't actually really defined it very well, I think. But it's interesting to think about how certain echo chambers in them, you know, in a Malay or a Chinese language context or an English language context might be different from one another. And so we can have one particular event or issue which is completely different depending on the language or the patterns that people are making when they are creating this. And Malaysia is a great example of that because of its multicultural, multi-language society. It's interesting to think about, is social media creating bigger echo chambers and filter bubbles, or are we more likely to see memes from other languages and other cultures because we're on Facebook and Instagram and so on? And I don't think we've got a good answer, but it's interesting to think about it.
So looking ahead, how do you see memes and meme culture evolving?
Well, I was hoping you were going to ask me about my dream because you said at the start that it was as interesting as talking about dreams. But the argument is that we're moving back in towards a sort of Egyptian era of hieroglyphics, which is sort of interesting to think about it, isn't it, that we actually need to understand ancient Egypt more to get a sense of the modern day visual cultures that we live in. But I'm constantly thinking about this as you're educating students, right? I mean, people are able to grasp a visual image so much more easily, and they're so much more used to that kind of material. And people are decreasingly reading full-length books and journal articles by academics such as myself. So, yeah, attention spans and the idea of understanding issues visually is really shifting rapidly. And And it's a massive challenge for all of us.
Ross, I wanted to close with this question, which is, how do you think understanding a country's memes help people understand that country? Because we've talked quite a lot about how, you know, Malaysia, Southeast Asia is an interesting place to look at the development of memes. And I'm just wondering, you know, as someone who studies this, how does understanding the country's memes help you understand the country?
Well, I'm just reading a thesis at the moment on the Philippines. And for those who might know that the former dictator Marcos, his son is running for president. And it's really interesting to read about the memes that are going around on Facebook, trying to change history and trying to change the former dictator as a strong man, and therefore a word that is better, and to try and think about that period of history as a more glorified period of history. And so you can really get a sense not only of modern day politics, but also the way that history can get revised via memes. And of course, as I said, some of this is created by political actors, but don't discount the importance that memes play both in politics and history. And I think that would be the case for Malaysia, Australia, Indonesia, and elsewhere. When we start to depict historical events via memes, it can really change and revise how people think about the past.
Ross, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Ross Tapsell, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Gender, Media and Culture at the Australian National University, talking to us about memes. And that's something we've been discussing because we've been seeing a whole influx of them because of a lack of influx of water in Selangor, basically, as a way for Selangorites, Selangorians, I have no idea what we're calling ourselves, but as a way for Selangorians to cope with the water cuts that we've been seeing. We've been seeing so many memes. So we've been asking you, essentially, do you find memes helpful as a coping mechanism? Would you like to share some of your favourites? So far, we've talked about Putri Gunung Ledang. We're seeing examples of Drake, for instance. If you'd like to share and send some our way, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.